In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Sunday morning readings are not something hurriedly thrown together or haphazardly assembled. They are not subject to the whims and wills of your pastor. All things in the church are done in good order to show forth Christ more clearly. So even in the midst of this long season of Trinity, themes are developed, three themes in particular, so we might see and behold and cling to Christ more clearly and more fervently. The first theme is that of the baptized life, that baptism and its graces are yours as a free gift from God and the means by which God calls you into his blessed family. The third is the second coming of our Lord at the end of the church year as we prepare for Christ's return. And now in this morning we stand in the middle. After baptism, after being called into the church, into salvation by Christ, and awaiting patiently his return, we find ourselves in the midst of the struggle of the Christian life. It is always true that the promises of Christ stand, that even as steeples are falling, Christ is faithful. But it is important to know that you do not struggle alone. Christ is with us in our struggles, directs us, and he equips you with the tools to persevere in the faith. And so today, Jesus teaches you. He warns you to watch out for false teachers. Do not put your trust in men. Our struggles in this world between baptism and Christ's return are against our own flesh. They're against the world. They are against false teaching and prophets, that is to say, against false pastors who will teach you things wrong about Christ, who will lie about what Christ has done and who he is. These indeed are wolves in sheep's clothing, seeking to devour you whole and to leave nothing left. And our Lord says you will recognize them by their fruit. And so you are indeed obligated to notice, to consider the works, to consider what is preached, what is said, and what is done. You are not to look the other way or pretend you don't see it. You are to test what your pastor says against the scriptures. You cannot let your guard down in this world. You are called upon to think critically of what you hear and what you see. And you are to judge it. You are to judge it by God's word alone. For earthly wisdom, your own sensibilities, these things will fail you. Even as men placed into the apostolic ministry might let you down and fail you. For pastors are not infallible. But Christ is not speaking against a slip of the tongue or an honest mistake that is followed with repentance. He is speaking against those who constantly and consistently try to pull you away from Christ, to point you away from the atonement, away from Christ's work, towards your own sense of salvation. And so, yes, be gracious to your pastors when we fail, but hold us accountable. For on this side of heaven, you must listen and think critically. This exhortation against false prophets is placed in Christ's sermon in a rather interesting spot. A few weeks ago, we heard in the gospel, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." And now we know that verse is used by many to stop any theological discussion when it's talking about sins that we don't want to talk about. Others use it to say, "Who am I to judge?" And don't really look carefully into other people's lives, much less their own, even though it is their vocation to do so. And so parents turn a blind eye to their children's sins. Husbands and wives live in sin openly and rejoice in it. But Christ tells you to beware. You are indeed to judge, to be discerning, and to watch out. It is not something simply for your pastor to do, but something every Christian, something you are called upon in your vocation. You are to be aware of false prophets and false teachings. For the word prophet in apostolic times was associated with the preaching and teaching office. Today, we might rephrase Christ to say, beware of pastors and theologians who do not stand on the word of God. Beware of those who would undermine the work of Christ while claiming his name. You are to be aware of anyone who presumes to speak with the authority of God, but yet their words do not match up with the scriptures. But like I said, Christ does not leave you alone to discern this. He has equipped you for this very thing. You have the scriptures, and you have the small catechism. Use them, learn them, know them. For Jesus calls those false prophets wolves, a purely demonic term in the Holy Scriptures. He also calls them rotten trees with bad fruit that are going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Which fires, you may ask, are the fires of hell. And this might sound harsh to our Midwestern sensitive ears, but our Lord is impressing upon us the seriousness of false doctrine. It is not harsh to say that those who spread lies about Christ are spreading demonic lies. That those who stand in the stead of Christ and speak incorrectly, who teach against what Christ has done, are demonic. It is not insensitive or wrong to say that they are fit only for the fires of hell. For theology is that serious. It is not some playful pastime or a hobby or something that we can simply agree to disagree on. Theology, that is, doctrine matters because truth matters. Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And our God is a God of truth. And if man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, then every word that comes from our Lord is precious to us and should be held in the highest regard, and we should not allow others or ourselves to slander it. Indeed, today it is popular to be spiritual. It is popular to have spiritual convictions, to have your own ideas about how things work out in the cosmos, in the universe, in the life to come. But notice what is often lacking is a mention of an objective truth. Sure, people say that might be your truth, or this is what I believe. But so what? So what if it is simply your truth? Who are you to determine truth? So what if this is what you believe, if it's not real? That which is true is for all men at all times and in all places. Our world does not mention any idea of objective biblical truth, consistent and unchanging doctrine that transcends our own generation and shows us how God has always been and always will be towards us. That sees from the moment of creation to the second coming of Christ, God working to redeem and restore his people. Instead, the spirit of our age turns faith into a purely personal and private matter. Something every individual must find on their own for themselves, and God forbid that they would dare judge or impose their belief upon someone else. God forbid they would dare tell you, or you would tell someone else, what they believe is wrong. The focus today is not outwards towards a mighty and almighty God. It is inward towards a subjective feeling. And this is what the false prophets love. The false prophets know this human condition and tell you what your sinful flesh wants. They tell you what your sinful flesh desires to hear rather than what your almighty God wants you to know for certain. They want you to feel secure rather than be secure. Consider the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah paints the picture of a transcendent God that fills the heavens and the earth, that sees everything going on and wants to know us and to be with us. But this is not the God of our age. The God of our age is far off. And we in the Lutheran Church are not immune to false spirits. The devil always seeks to focus us upon the moment, changing the truth to what we want to hear in order for us to gain our own pleasures, for us to feel secure. Sure, we believe and confess, but we are always wary to suggest that others are wrong. But the scriptures are clear. The way to salvation is narrow and exclusive. It is Christ alone. And the scriptures have revealed the truth to us. And if we are right, then others are wrong. Those who do not agree with us, who do not agree with the scriptures, who do not agree with Christ, must by necessity be wrong. It is simple logic. Two things that are contradictory cannot both be true. And we understood this in the early days of Lutheranism. Consider the Book of Concord, how we actually have done theology for most of our time as a church. We have always confessed both in the positive what we believe and also what we reject, those who are wrong. We have condemned false doctrine and false teachings. And the same should be true for you today. Do not abide false doctrine and teaching. Condemn it and be watchful. For it is the way of evil to dress itself up in sheep's clothing. Now, none of you would fall for a wolf wrapped up in the skin of a sheep and think that's a sheep if you're actually paying attention. Evil can be discerned. It is the way of evil to attempt to dress itself up and to look good and salutary, to appear honorable, but you cannot mistake the teeth. The Bible says the devil comes himself, not as a wicked destroyer, a man dressed in red with a pitchfork and horns upon his head and a forked tongue, but he appears to you as an angel of light. So also false prophets come looking like sheep of the good shepherd, at least trying to. They may even themselves believe that they are, not knowing that their fruit is rotten and poisonous. But you can discern them. You can recognize them by their teaching and their doctrines. You can recognize them by their fruit. And to live according to the flesh means death. To fall prey to these things means being devoured. But you are not left to struggle alone. Christ does not ascend into heaven after saving and paying the debt you owe by your sin upon the cross, so you might hopefully find your way to him one day. He ascends to heaven so that he might be with you always, that he might dwell with you in his word and in his sacraments, so that you might know who he is, that his prophets, his pastors, might preach and proclaim him throughout the whole world, so that men and women might discern the truth, that he might send his Holy Spirit upon you so you might know his voice and listen to it. He caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for your protection. The very word of God is your shield against the wolves. And you might be tempted to say, I am not a theologian. I am no expert in the Holy Scriptures. How then am I to distinguish between a false and genuine teacher when they both seemingly use Holy Scripture? The simplest answer is the most profound. Recount the words from your Christian instruction that most of you learned when you were quite young. What are the Ten Commandments? What is the Lord's Prayer? What is the Apostles' Creed? Most of you have this memorized, as well you should. And it's good for you to recount them daily. Because when those difficult questions that seek to tear you away from your good shepherd, when those questions arise, you can cling to the simple words of your faith. How do you know that a man and woman living together outside of marriage is wrong? The Sixth Commandment. How do you know that talking poorly about your neighbor behind his back is a sin? The Eighth Commandment. How do you know that Jesus is the only way of salvation and the Lord and Savior who saves by grace through faith? The Apostles' Creed. How do you know that your prayers are heard and God desires to take care of you? The Lord's Prayer. This is the entry into God's Word. You learned it as a child in Sunday school and at home, and the Lord is looking after you through His Word and His Holy Spirit. That is the way of salvation. It is narrow because it doesn't let in any of the opinions and qualifications of men. Rather, it admits that only the merits of Christ and His righteousness are salvific. He alone is the one through whom we gain entrance into heaven and are protected in this world. Our Lord alone is the way that leads to everlasting life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. His, indeed, is a difficult and unpopular way because it flows from and through His cross. Through an apparent failing when our Lord hung on the cross and died for the sins of the world as He became the fruit of the tree of salvation. It is into this that you have been baptized. It is into this that you share the life that He has won. Through the cross you have been entirely forgiven of your sin and given the tools to withstand in the day of temptation. Through His suffering and His death, He has provided for you a shield for you against your own flesh, against the world, and against the devil. Through His resurrection, He has raised you to new life in Him. So beware and watchful of wolves in sheep clothing, but do not fear them. For our Lord has called you by His Spirit, and He has equipped you to deal with them, to discern them, and He has given you His good shepherd, Christ, to break their teeth and to cast them into the fires of hell so that you might be safe. Spirit bears witness to you of what Christ has done, the Spirit of truth, who does not lie. Be watchful and be at peace, for God will watch over you. In Jesus' name, amen.